how do you know if your partner is the one before proposing?
What is this, the Matrix?
See the one? Eno.
How do you know if you found your Neo?
Oh, is it Neo?
Yeah.
What did I say? I said Eno.
Who's Eno? Like Brian Eno?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So happy Valentine's Day, lovers.
Hello, lovers. It's Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day.
I don't know why I'm doing that in a lounge singer's
voice. I like it.
But,
I think it's a good introduction to, we're going to have a loungy episode here.
Yeah,
we're going to lounge around in this episode.
Yes. Okay, so it's Valentine's Day. What kind of hot stuff do you got?
I got to say, first off, I'm not a huge fan of Valentine's Day. You know I don't like romance.
Yeah.
But I particularly don't like going to a bar or a restaurant on Valentine's Day because it's all, everyone's all sketched out.
Mm-hmm.
The staff is trying to turn the tables off real quickly.
Yep.
So they can get the next, you know, unhappy couple coming to it. It's just a very stressful day for everyone with bad service and bad prefixes.
Yes, and there's a lot of, this stress of, like, whatever expectations you have in a relationship or
and
what you want.
And not even for my relationship, but I'm just, like, when I'm in New York, because, you know, it gets very competitive, you're looking at what other people are doing, and you're just seeing guys. If you want something fun to do on Valentine's Day, go to Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
Around like 4 o'clock. And so you can see all the suits running around Grand Central Station trying to buy whatever they can.
Oh, yeah. Whatever flower, the eggs.
Whatever overpriced panty rose is out there.
Oh, man. I dislike so at a level which is really extreme for what it is. I hate the single rose.
Oh, I don't have a single rose.
Oh, don't.
Either.
Any time of the year.
I don't have a bud buzz.
Don't give. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what woman is keeping around a bud vase for that single rose that the guy brings over?
You get the single rose, it's 3 fucking feet long, it's a meter long.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with it. You're walking around like an asshole.
Yeah, yes.
You know, with a small red thing
and
on
it's like,
a green
where
stick.
Can I put this down? You're hitting people with it.
You're hitting
and
people
with
like,
it. And it's like, yes, my date is cheap.
Yes. It's terrible.
And so it's not a symbol of like a romantic.
No.
Whatever.
And I'm going to go back on the panty rose. I would say the panty rose only works if it's a panty bouquet. If you're going to give the love of your life 12 really nice pair of underwear.
Yeah.
I say go for it.
Yeah.
Nice.
It has to be nice.
Some Journelle.
Yes. La la.
Okay. So right. I'm going to kick off Valentine's Day. This is something here. It says, here's one simple thing to remember. Guys, for women, Valentine's Day is much like the Super Bowl for men.
Yes, you've got to remember that,
yes.
Guys. It really is.
In other words, it says, ignore this date at your peril.
Yeah.
And I'm not a football fan, but I have lived in a household with football fans before. You make it a nice day for them.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether they're male or female. It's a big day for them. Get the sandwich. Get the beer.
Oh, and the wings. God's sakes.
Yeah. Get it together. It's fun, you know. So it's great that you've got a relationship that's going well. However, if you want to see it continue, don't snooze on Valentine's Day. Don't sleep. Nothing will make a woman feel more forgotten than to have this day come and go without hearing from you. Yeah, you should at least put a shout out in.
Yeah.
Like, don't take it. It says, fortunately, however, the vast majority of women are not looking for a grand display of love. Yes, our expectations have been ground into the dirt, people.
Yeah.
Like, would just be nice, you know? Here are 5 fail-proof ways to let her know that you care.
Okay. Let her know you care.
Yeah. Number 1, up your game on this special day. If you normally to go out to eat inexpensively, Thai, perhaps, then, and you go to a movie, kick it up a notch. Perhaps a live show. Mm-hmm. Always a fan. Mm-hmm. Live shows are always good.
Live show, yes.
Comedy club. Valentine's Day.
Really?
Yeah, because you know what they're going to be talking about. They're going to be embarrassing everyone and their brother.
And then bringing up all kinds of emotional issues and making jokes about them. Like, oh, how do you know he's really...
Because they're single.
Yeah.
And their ex-girlfriend's a bitch. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Music venue or anything that says it's special. If it's too late to get tickets, take her out for a nice meal. Oh, I like this one. And give her tickets for the coming weekend.
Ooh.
That's nice.
Ooh.
For you last minute people.
Right. Yeah. And why don't you make it Valentine's week?
Yep. Make it Valentine's
week.
Every
day do
something. We're extending it.
Yeah.
Staying in is okay if you create a mood that makes it special. And gentlemen, we say start with the feet. Or absolutely. Ladies, whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't underestimate the foot rub.
Yeah. You know, a lady likes a foot rub.
This is what the podcast could be for 45 minutes. I'm saying don't underestimate the foot rub.
Don't underestimate it. Yeah. Consider some that recent snowstorms have been going on. This may be your only option anyway. True. You may have to stay in. I guess that's something to think about. If you're planning something big and you're in a place where weather may affect it, have a backup plan. Consider comfort food dishes that you both like. I like that as opposed to like some weird meal that you've never had before.
Right. An intimidating meal. Yes. You don't know how to eat it. Do you pick it up? Do you use a fork?
Yeah.
Do you eat that? You don't even know if you should eat certain things.
Yeah.
Are they
garnishes? How to. Yeah. Then be sure to try something new, perhaps a tantalizing dessert, and then make a special tablecloth, candles, flowers, music. Nice. That's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. Flowers are appreciated any day, but never so more than a Valentine's Day. Certainly red roses are traditional. We've already gone in on the red rose, but it says they may be scarce this year.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
They're being shot in the wild. That's
yes.
why.
Yes.
The poachers are, did you see the people holding up bouquets? It's yes. like, how dare you?
It says get creative with flowers or a bouquet.
I cut all of these in the field.
I know. You bastards.
They were supposed to stay there. That's what they, that's all they knew.
They're scarce. It's poachers afoot. It says, in other words, skip the dozen red roses and go for something different, like purple calla lilies. Or just find something funky. Mm-hmm. I always like to get a weird flower.
I love a weird flower. I love an orange flower.
Yes, yeah. Just something strange. So it also says, do something silly but endearing. Maybe send her an email every hour because it says you're always on my mind. Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, but you have to have something interesting.
Throw a meme in there.
Yeah.
Like with Willie Nelson.
Right.
Over the course of the day, sends her silly things, a basket with a stuffed bear, box of candy, oversized card, et cetera, et cetera. So that just do small things throughout the day. And then finally, and I'm, try a love letter.
Okay.
Poem.
Mm-hmm.
Or song. Yeah.
All right.
I was waiting for that one. Why? Because women like to know that you're willing to put yourself out there and I'm putting quotes and embarrass your ass.
Yes.
When it comes to expressing how much you care. Guys are too concerned about getting it just right and fail to understand that what a woman appreciates most of all is that you care.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
And
really
I always say one of my favorite, and I hate romantic comedies, but I do have a soft spot for Ben Stiller, even though he's the least romantic person I can think
yes.
of.
Not
when he learns how to dance.
Yes.
And is either What About Polly? Something about Polly. Polly's girl.
Polly comes along. You believe what happened?
Marries 40 years, whatever. When he learns how to dance, and his dance is awful.
Yeah.
But he goes for it. He commits to it 120%. Mm-hmm. And it's cute.
Yeah.
Even though it's big Ben Stiller's head, it's still okay. So I would say these are not bad. You know, gentlemen, good luck. It's a minefield out there.
Yeah. And if you got somebody that you like, you better hang on for dear life. Because...
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
It's getting sketchy out there. All right, yeah. What do you have?
Okay. Valentine's Day, the science behind why we fall in love.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Drugs?
It's attraction, fierce. Lust, and attachment boil down to the biology.
Mm-hmm.
From the heady moment when you click with a person, as the conversation flows to that feeling of certainty.
I hate heady. But the heady days of...
It makes me feel like you're smelling something that's off.
It makes me feel like you're talking about the 20s all the time.
Yeah. The heady days of the 20s.
The heady days of the 20s. I don't know.
Of the roaring 20s.
Of the fin de siècle. The heady days of the turn of the century. I don't know.
All right. Okay, so you're certain they're the most amazing human on the planet. Most of us will experience love and the feeling of attraction, lust, and the attachment that develops. Most of us
lust.
Will.
Okay.
Lust is, don't underestimate the lust.
Yeah. Sometimes it's all you got.
Yeah. But what exactly causes these feelings? So I'll break it down for you. So attraction.
Okay.
When you become attracted to someone, a series of chemicals are released in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Dopamine produces the feeling of bliss, leading to the loss of appetite and sleepless nights.
Yeah, and what's so funny about that is I remember distinctly as like a teen feeling like, I can't eat.
Yeah.
And being like, what's going on? I thought this was supposed to be fun.
Yeah, right. You're
like,
supposed
I can't
to,
eat.
I can't eat, and I'm feeling weird and jittery, and I can't sleep.
I think that goes away as you get older. Well, I know it does. What am I saying?
So then...
I can't eat. When does that happen?
I know, right? Yeah, I need some of that now.
Yeah.
I can cut my appetite, especially after the holidays.
Yes, after all that.
All right. So then a stress response is created, causing an increased heart rate and sweating. Okay. And a protein called nerve growth factor is produced.
The nerve growth factor.
I have a nerve of that growth factor.
It's produced.
It's produced.
Okay.
Serotonin levels fall, making it difficult to keep the object of your desire out of your thoughts.
Huh.
Idealizing them and becoming oblivious to their flaws.
Well, I wish.
Yeah.
I started scrutinizing from day one.
So that's attraction. So there you are, the attraction. Now there's lust.
Woo!
Lust. We never talk about lust.
Really?
I mean, when we reach puberty, testosterone and estrogen become active in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
These hormones create a desire to experience love, and so we start looking for a mate.
And then everyone around you is telling you, no, it's not good.
Yeah.
Is it the worst? Your body is telling you what the right thing to do is, and society is like, no way.
No, yeah, shame on you. You're dirty.
Yeah. And then when people get older, they look back, they're like, I should have done it then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you should have.
Saying someone told me when, so I'm like, I would say a dirty old man, but in the George Burns sense of the word,
okay.
Not like, you know, skeevy. He said, if only the young ones knew and the old ones could.
Yeah.
And I think I was like 12 or 13. My mom was like, you really want to tell her that now?
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah, my grandmother used to say, she used to say, well, youth is wasted on the young.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always say, if I were young and know what I know now. I said, well, tell me, what is it that you know now? Because I'm young.
Yeah, yeah, I could do it.
Yeah, and she couldn't tell me. She wouldn't tell me.
It was that. I wish I'd met this woman.
Mm.
Damn it. She wouldn't tell you. I'm going to tell young people when I'm old.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them all.
Yeah, start with the feet. Like this crazy old lady in the Bronx who just keeps yelling about feet.
Okay, so when we lust after, who we lust after is influenced by a number of factors. Looks and personality play a role.
Cash.
And research has revealed that we tend to be attracted to people who remind us of our parents.
Ugh.
No. It's not that you're going to get someone who is like your parent. And this screwed me up for a very long time, by the way. But it's the idea that you're comfortable with somebody who has certain traits.
Okay.
So you start feeling comfortable around people immediately.
I
don't know.
I didn't grow up with my father around.
Yeah.
So.
We also sniff out potential mates.
Really? I don't like that term.
I know. And studies have found that we tend to prefer the smell of others who have an immune system that is different from our own.
Huh.
Yes. So that's why when you smell somebody and, like, if somebody doesn't smell right to you or they smell good to you, I'm not talking about, like, soaps or perfumes or clothes
their
or things.
Their actual body scent. Smell.
They smell good to you because they have a different immune system. So if you do have offspring, they have a stronger chance to survive.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So that's why you, like, you're smelling people. And you're like, that smells good.
I remember a couple of months ago, you and I went to a restaurant. We had a waiter that just packed an olfactory punch.
Yes, but I didn't smell it.
You didn't smell it?
I didn't smell it, but you did.
I had the same immune system. And Evolution was being like, dude, don't even serve a beer to her.
Yeah, like you guys would have this.
I wonder if he was like, man, that woman reeks.
Yeah.
Over at 10?
It would have been like it was nature telling you, don't reproduce with this guy because it'll be a mess.
Don't worry, nature. I got the message.
Ooh. And I didn't smell, so I...
I know. And you're looking at me. I'm like, are you not smelling
it? I didn't smell it.
I'm like, not only can I smell it, I see it. Like, it was that strong.
But that was the funny thing because
I didn't smell it.
You asked me several times and I was like...
Because I couldn't believe it.
But I was like, I cannot smell
it. It was like
this.
I was sitting... It was like an open sewer. Whatever. And it didn't smell like it, but the level of intensity.
Intense. It wasn't like he smelled like sewage.
No,
and that's like what I enjoy.
Yes. I know you like a good sewer in the summertime. Okay.
Okay, the last bit of the science is attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Attachment.
Or attachement.
If a relationship is going to last, a strong bond must form.
Mm-hmm.
Two key hormones, oxytocin and vasopressin,
okay,
are involved in forming this commitment.
I feel like those are for sale.
I do too.
We heard like a commercial. Ask your doctor about that.
Oxytocin and vasopressin.
Is your relationship not going well? Do you not have attachment issues?
I said the attachments.
Yes. Vasopressin.
I want that to be the new way that people pitch products. Oh, love. Take this product. That'll be like the new voice.
In the background.
And then, okay, so oxytocin is released when we hug, kiss, and have sex.
Okay.
It helps.
Boom.
Yes, it helps to establish trust and intimacy.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've kissed a lot of people all day and been like, it seems sketchy.
Yeah. So, because you know that their intentions are foul.
You can smell them.
Yeah. Vasopressin, a hormone responsible for regulating the body's retention of water, is also released during sex and encourages monogamy.
How so? Say, read that again.
Yes.
It encourages
It's a hormone responsible for regulating the body's retention of water, and it's also released during sex and encourages monogamy.
How? It suggests it?
It makes you want to be only with this person.
Huh.
It gives you an attachment. Makes you attached to that one.
Suggestopedia. All right.
Endorphins also play a key role in attachment, suppressing pain, and creating a sense of security when released.
Huh. That's fascinating.
Yes.
So I did not know
there
that.
Are all these. I mean, I have a friend who is a neurologist, and she is just adamant about relationships that they're really just based on chemicals
yeah,
in your
be.
Body and your reactions.
Some, I mean, but I wonder then why, well, there's, I mean, it's nature and nurture, right? Because I have some friends who I'm like, you're constantly picking the same wrong kind of partner again and again.
Yeah, that's psychology. That's more like something about
their
mental
but
emotional.
Their, but their hormones aren't warding them away. So they're, the, in terms of their, the physiological makeup, that's a good partner for them, but in terms of how they relate to each other and the psychology of it, it doesn't work. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're drawn to these people.
Yeah.
They're sniffing them out.
Sniffing them out, and they're getting that, all these hormones are releasing that are making them feel good and making them get attached to this other partner.
Maybe I lack some of these hormones because I'm cold as ice. All right, I like that though. So I found this is a, this is a tale from Der Campfire.
Tales from Der Campfire. This is a segment wherein we tell ghost stories, scary stories, urban myth, legends.
Yeah, folklore, folklore. We would tell it here on the Digital Campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
This is, it's a love story that leads to a ghost story.
Yay.
So it takes place in Albany, New York. I mean, that's scary enough as it is. Jesse Strang deserted his wife and children and began a new life in Albany. This is in the 1820s. And he changed his name to Joseph Orton. And began working at the Van Rensselaer's residence in Cherry Hill, where he caught the eye of the affluent Elsie Van Rensselaer.
Elsie
Van, a married woman.
Yeah.
Jesse and Elsie decided their love could really flourish if they could just get rid of Elsie's husband, John Whipple.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, poor Johnny
Mr.
Whipple.
Mr. Whipple, yes.
Johnny Whipple.
John Whipple. In May of 1827, they tried to poison him with arsenic. Also called inheritance powder back in the day, but it didn't work. And then he finally just shot him. Oh. I mean, this
was like,
guy,
I can't. Why did they like, ask him to? Why didn't she just like say, I'm not going to be into you anymore? I'm going to divorce you. Why do you have to hurt somebody?
He probably knew something was up after he was poisoned with arsenic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess, because that was called the women's weapon right back then. I'm sure his wife did it.
Yeah. Oh.
And then the lover, Jesse, was like, okay, whatever. We'll just shoot this mug. So, Jesse and Elsie tried to hide the plot, but they didn't cover the tracks very well. So, apparently, they were found out right away.
Oops.
So, what a surprise. You've taken up with a new lover.
Yeah.
And now your husband, after he's been poisoned, has been shot. I wonder what happened. So, in June, Jesse Strang confessed to the murder and told prosecutors where to find the rifle. And he believed that if his wife was convicted as well, her powerful family would get them both pardoned. So, he put the blame on her. He said she did it.
Oh.
I know. But this is his plan.
Yeah.
That they would both get pardoned. But when the lawyer and the prosecutor told him that nothing he said against Elsie would lighten his punishment, he withdrew his confession. So they're like, it's not going to work. No one's going to believe that this woman shot her husband. His trial generated a lot of excitement. It was held in the assembly chamber of the state capitol because there was a big crowd. This is not how things work nowadays in the U.S. Like, they're like, no, we don't have a big enough venue.
Yeah.
We need more people in here. So they have it in the state capitol house, and even then it was so packed that people were hanging around outside. Like, this was like the trial of the century.
Oh, God.
Members of the household testified that they heard Strang, Jesse, spread rumors of stories about prowlers out to kill him, and the merchants who sold him the rifle and the arsenic testified, as well as the hotel keepers who had seen them together. So they had left a trail of evidence.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's like everything but a picture of him buying the gun and the arsenic.
God.
But it was his confession that sealed the fate.
Mm-hmm.
So they had evidence that he bought the arsenic, evidence that he bought the gun. They heard people saying that he was going to kill him. Yes. And he confessed.
Yeah, so he pretty much did it.
He pretty much did it. The jury deliberated for 15 minutes before they came back with guilty. So they also tried Elsie, but they ended up acquitting her because they closed ranks because her family was really famous and wealthy. And they were like, we're not going to execute this, you know, daughter of the town. So the verdict
was... I'm the daughter of the town.
The verdict was Jesse Strang, guilty of first-degree murder. Elsie Whipple, not guilty.
Wow.
According to an Albany tourist site, all members of this love triangle still roam the halls of Cherry Hill today.
All three of them.
All three.
Oh, there's God. Johnny Whipple's like, get me out, away from these people.
What did I do?
Yeah.
There's a ghost who dwells on the bottom floor of Cherry Hill, and a suspicion, and the people think it's the slain Whipple. Mm-hmm. Mr. Whipple. The ghost is not hostile. It does not seem to mind the company in the old mansion, but those who have encountered him do say he's a bit angry.
Yeah.
Jesse Strang's ghost, a.k.a. Joe Orton, mm-hmm. can be seen around the Eagle Street Ravine where the gallows stood, mm-hmm. so they hanged him. He wears a robe and a hat trimmed with black, the same thing that he wore during his execution. But there haven't been any reports of Mrs. Whipple around the place.
I'm assuming that
she's, you know, not interested. And they say, imagine repeatedly running into both of your exes in the afterlife. Pretty tragic. Isn't that crazy?
The betrayal in the afterlife.
I can't believe this guy thought he would get away with it with that much evidence.
It just wasn't bright.
Yeah.
It was not a bright
person. Like, he should not have bought the rifle, like, openly, and the arsenic. And, you know, he should have covered his tracks in some way.
It's just like, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you, Elsie.
I love you. And, you know, and then Elsie probably is sitting pretty at the end because she's a widow. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who...
She's wealthy.
Yeah, so she
probably
got...
young.
She got someone to kill her husband, basically, is what the story reads like for me. And then she got away with it.
Wow.
So, there you go. Little tales from Durr, from Albany. I've been to Albany. Albany is creepy.
Is it?
It's a weird place because so many things like this have happened in Albany. I mean, it's the state capital
New York.
It's way, way upstate. Like, there's really not much around. It just has a very creepy feel to it.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. What do you have?
Well, Jaquetta, do animals fall in love?
I don't know.
The answer is yes.
Why do birds sing?
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you're near? Because they love you.
They do fall in love.
Yes.
Well, they have all these chemicals.
Yes, this is a...
This is to
oxytocin. That's what they said. In a recent study, the researchers looked into the hormone oxytocin as a bonding agent in relationships and made an amazing discovery. Animals are capable of falling in love the way humans do.
See, this is the thing. The more we learn about animals, the weirder we're going to feel about eating them.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now.
So they found the data by measuring the oxytocin levels in the subject's blood.
When you're eating someone's husband, you're not going to feel so excited about that blackbird pie.
Right. One such experiment took him to Arkansas, where a terrier and a goat had a very special relationship.
Excuse me, stop. This is a family podcast. A terrier and a goat?
Yeah, this is funny, because the animals' oxytocin levels were measured before and after playing with each other. Like, the out in the field.
And they were high as a
they
kite.
They found the dog had a 48% increase in oxytocin. The dog showed, it shows the dog was quite attached to the goat.
Aww.
So the moderate changes in oxytocin suggest the dog viewed the goat as a friend.
What about the goat?
The more striking was the goat's reaction to the dog. It had a 210% increase in oxytocin. Right. So
it's unrequited.
Within the framework, that framework of oxytocin, it's the love hormone. The goat was more in love with the dog.
Oh, and the dog's like, we just hang out, man.
We just really like you. But
yeah.
We're friends.
We hang out in this field. I prance a little bit. It's not serious.
Yeah.
I got a bitch back at home.
Yeah. Like, it figures that a dog is just like running
man,
around.
A dog's got to do what a dog's got to do.
Yeah. The only time that they see such a surge.
Dogs will hump a tire. They don't care.
Yeah. The only time they see such a huge surge in oxytocin in humans is when someone sees their loved one and is romantically attracted to someone or shows an enormous kindness.
Or the goat and hangs out with a small dog.
Aww. So this goat really wasn't loving this dog.
Will the dog ever know? The dog's like, I know.
I know, whatever.
Have you seen me? I mean, who can blame her?
I'm a terrier.
Yeah, I'm a terrier. I'm all about it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I have some advice.
Have you ever felt like a goat in a relationship with a dog?
Yes. Are you the goat or the dog?
Are you the goat or the dog?
No. God. You're the terrier or the billy goat. So this is from Carolyn Hacks. So we use her a lot. Washington Post. Valentine's Day advice for couples and singles.
Oh, advice on advice.
Yes. Bonus advice.
Yes.
Right?
No.
No. This is advice on advice. This is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice, hence.
Advice on advice.
All right. So, dear, newly single, one word, DC. Dear Carolyn, I really value your advice and hope you can help. I broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years about 1 month ago, and I'm feeling a little sad about V-Day, as well as my weekend nights.
Oh, so every day.
Yeah. First, any suggestions for what I can do tonight?
And in the mornings. And in the afternoons.
I really don't like the thought of sitting at home alone. Well, then
don't. All the time.
Yeah, all the time. But I'm not... Do you have Netflix? Because that changes things. But I'm not sure of any activities that a woman can do by herself.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Like battery operated or not battery operated. What are you talking about? As far as the weekends go, my friends are all coupled up. And I often join them when they go out on weekend nights. I realize I'm
lucky. Hi, everyone. I'm here. They're like, great.
Great. The fifth wheel.
Back again.
The seventh wheel.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have this outlet, but I'm feeling like I should not depend on them for my social life. I have to say, as someone who's been married for almost 10 years now, I like hanging out with single people mm-hmm. and people with couples. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like going out with couples all the time is not, it's weird. It's not something that we do. I'm just happy to have a mix of people.
Yeah. I think it's creepy the way people are like, I'm only going out with other couples because what are you trying to do?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Are you trying to like...
Is it the 70s? Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, I think there's... I mean, I don't... And I hope that people who are single don't feel awkward mm-hmm. if they're going out. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like, okay, I'm only going to talk to people who are in a couple. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to talk to a single
person.
But that's
what a lot of married couples do. Or they are like, now we're married, so we're only going to be with married people.
Oh, I feel like now I'm married, so I can go out with whoever I want. I'm not on the hunt.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, like a wingman. Okay, so, okay. She says, I don't really have any friends that are single. Well, okay. There's your problem.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to pick up anyone, but you should. It's been a couple of months. A month. Just maybe meet some people. I'm still healing from my breakup, but I think it would be helpful for me to, quote unquote, get out there. Mm-hmm. I'm really busy during the days. And enjoy doing a lot of activities. I just found my weekend nights to be a little empty. Any ideas for this newly single 30-year-old woman?
Oh, for fuck's
thanks
sake.
So much. I really enjoy your chats.
Oh, God.
Carolyn Hacks writes, quote, ... but I am not sure of any activities that a woman can do by herself. And then she writes, anyone up for a group barf? Carolyn, no. No, Carolyn. You've got to be a little more sensitive than that.
Carolyn, someone's coming to you advice yes. for advice. You don't talk
well,
about barfing.
I feel like either she'd done a Bee Jean on this one and gone for wine mm-hmm. before answers, or someone else answered this. That doesn't sound like Carolyn Hacks.
No, that's rude, Carolyn. Yes. That's a bitter Carolyn Hacks.
Yes.
Like, she's like, I'm there right now and I have nothing.
I have nothing
for you.
What happened to go to a movie, go to dinner, go dancing, go shopping, read a book over a foo-foo coffee thing at a bookstore? Well, Carolyn's angry. Work
yeah.
out. Work. Go to a concert. See a play. Go to a galley. Annoy a bartender. Take flowers to a hospital. And ask if there are any sick people.
Yeah.
who haven't been visited. And make an anonymous gift.
Yeah.
If you are living in one of the liveliest, busiest, most interesting spots on earth, and if you can't do anything, think of anything to do because you don't have an arm accessory for it, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree,
but she's a little heavy-handed
with
that.
It's a little harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, that came on strong.
Super strong and with a little violence.
Yeah. Barf?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that since Gag Me With a Spoon.
I haven't heard barf since, we were...
It's the 80s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the 80s.
Barf. Okay.
You make me want to barf.
So that's one of the pieces of advice.
Because it's a dumb... Like, mindset. Honestly, nobody's asking
yeah.
me, so I'm just going to say. I think it's a stupid mindset to think that because you're not with somebody that you don't even know what to do with yourself. Like,
and she says, like, what's wrong with hanging out with the couple's friends? They sound like they do interesting mm-hmm. stuff. They might be able to help you meet somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh. Bizarre. Barf.
Yeah.
And then she writes P-U-H-L-E-E-Z. Police.
Police.
Police. Wow, Carolyn. I didn't know she had it in her.
Yeah, she does.
It's just one of those
she's
days
got
like,
it
you know what?
Spades.
F this.
Yeah. Just like
I'm sounding off. Hacks is sounding off. All right, what do you have?
Okay, so Valentine's Day. How do you know if your partner is the one before proposing?
This is, what is this, the Matrix?
I can see the one. Eno.
How do you know if you found your Neo?
Oh, is it Neo?
Yeah. What did I say?
I said Eno.
Who's Eno? Like Brian Eno?
So you've been together for a while. You feel like you get each other. Sex is great. People tell you make a perfect couple. Oh,
oh
I hate
God.
It. Come on. Who goes up to somebody and says, you and, you know, Jackson are the...
Alicia and Jackson, you are the perfect couple.
Perfect couple.
You know what? I always say people like, yeah, it seems all right.
But what is the perfect couple? Like, oh, you guys are just perfect.
It's the perfect couple. In my mind, the perfect couple is, let me see, Christian Bale and Jason Statham. That's the perfect couple.
Yeah. You could even tolerate their rather demanding and opinionated aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going well.
Is that the biggest problem people have in a relationship is an aunt?
I know. And with Valentine's looming, you've had sleepless nights wondering if now might be the right time to propose.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest question that lurks is, how can I be sure I found Eno, the one?
Eno. Yes, the search for Eno.
So when respondents were asked to pick their top three signs of commitment in a relationship, the most commonly identified were exclusivity mm-hmm. and getting married with sharing problems coming out across the top five.
So... exclusivity, mm-hmm. getting married,
yeah,
and
sharing
problems.
Yeah.
Says the romantic in me.
Yeah.
Sharing.
Yes.
For the birds.
Okay, so they ask, it's a big commitment. This goes on for like two paragraphs on
it's
what
a commitment.
Commitment
to read it.
Yeah, I can't even get to that. Pressure comes from all directions, you know. So first, can you talk to your partner easily?
I hope so.
Do you both listen to each other and not make assumptions?
I mean, I try to listen, but sometimes I just fade out.
Yeah. How about assumptions? Do you listen to each other and not make assumptions? I make assumptions all the time.
How about everything?
Yeah.
As soon as someone opens their mouth, I'm like, I bet I know what they're going to... Oh, they said something different.
Yeah.
Okay. Next assumption. So, I like making an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
So...
So many relationship issues could be sorted if couples could regain a basic curiosity in what their partner was saying to them.
Yeah, but this is the thing. After a certain amount of time, you're like, I heard that one.
Yeah, you hear this.
I know how
same.
You feel about that.
Yeah.
It's great.
There's only so many times you can listen to the best route.
Yeah. Yes.
To Trader Joe's.
Or that thing that happened in high school that you weren't there for.
Yeah. Also, are you able to regularly check out with each other that you're... Check out with each other that you're meeting each other's needs.
Okay.
Like, hey...
I thought it was a check-in.
I know. If they say
like,
out.
Okay. That's why I was getting confused. I'm like, check out.
So you should have, like, if you want to get corporate about it, have a 3-month review.
Yeah.
Every 3 months and be like, what's up?
At the end of the quarter, you go over expenditures.
Expenditures, sex life.
Yeah.
Day-to-day communications.
Yeah. See how things are going. Compare it to previous quarters.
Smells.
Yeah. Make some kind of plan for the next quarter.
Yeah. Right.
How you're going to end up that fiscal year.
Right. That's just do.
Yeah.
Checking in.
Check in. Circle back.
Thirdly, do you have the same values?
Okay. This is something that you need to put up front at the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah.
I always have to, because of the way I feel about things, I always try to see what kind of bigotry the person has going on.
Because mm-hmm.
everyone's got a little bit of prejudice. We all do. I mm-hmm. just like to see if it's ones I can deal with.
Right, right.
Right?
So right.
Do you have a problem with Scientology? I can deal with that.
Yeah.
but
Scientology, but how do you feel about ethnic cleansing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where does the environment stand for you?
Yeah.
These kind of things.
Right. Another big question is, what do you want, if you want kids?
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
Once again, these are things that need to come up top. And I feel like people are not always honest with these things at the beginning because they want to get in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it is a good idea just to check it in later.
Yeah. And you know what? This is my advice. Don't do it on Valentine's Day.
Hell no.
Do it on some other day that everyone can forget about.
Yeah, do it on like, Ides of March.
Yeah.
No one's really thinking about that day.
Or tax day.
Tax day. Throw it in there. Throw it in on tax day when everyone's all stressed out.
Right. I tell you. Yeah. So, throwing a proposal out on Valentine's Day is just the worst idea. Because that's always, you're always going to have that linked no matter what happens
mm-hmm.
to that date.
But also, I feel like if you're going to do a proposal on Valentine's Day, you better do it, like, in the Antarctic or something to make sure no other dude or woman around you is proposing on that same day and it's going to blow up your spot.
Right.
Because imagine you're getting ready to go down on one knee and another guy pulls up with a mariachi band and, like, fireworks.
Yeah. I saw a proposal on the High Line, but it was...
Was it good?
Well, it was this area of the High Line. The High Line is this raised railroad track in New York City that is turned into kind of a park and a walkway in a little area. There's one observation deck. Yeah, so you go up there and you stand at a glass wall and you look down at the road below.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of weird.
It is weird. It's not a great view.
I don't even know if I would call that an observation deck. So what are you looking at?
Yeah, it looks like traffic.
Yeah, you're looking on the traffic.
Well, they stopped traffic. They had people lined up with "Will you marry me?" whatever her name was.
Did people honk at them?
No, everybody let them do it.
That's not old New York.
Each one had a sign with a letter, and they stood there. And the girl was like, "Oh, let's look down here." And then suddenly she's like, "What are these people doing?" And then the signs went up, and she was like, "Ah!" And she said, "Yes."
All right, she's thank goodness. What if she had her own sign?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cute, I guess. No. Just to hold up a paddle.
Run.
Yeah, just run.
But it was cute. Then again, and not on Valentine's Day, which is smart.
I can't believe, I mean, see, this is telling you how much New York has changed. In old New York, people would be like, "Get the fuck out of the road."
Yeah.
Someone to run down the W. "Ill you marry me."
Yeah.
What's going on?
Or "Will you mar me?"
Yes, "Will you mar me?" What the hell's going on? I'm trying to get to work.
"Will you marry?"
Yeah.
Maybe, someday.
Just say yes, you old hag. You're not getting any younger. We gotta go.
Yeah.
Trying to get to the west side.
So, there you go.
Oh, now, I like that.
Did you find the Eno?
The Eno. I'm looking for the Eno.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the Bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
So I like to feel the pulse of America.
Oh, you got your finger on the pulse of America?
I have my finger on the pulse of the Hallmark Channel.
Okay.
Which I think represents a lot of America, because it's very popular. And so they have, predictably, some great Valentine's Day movies. They have a Valentine's Day lineup that we are supposed to be getting ready for.
Okay.
And you've got some great Hallmark originals. There's one called Walking the Dog.
Walking the Dog.
Yeah. Rival lawyers battle each other in court as their respective dogs fall madly in love. No goats.
No. It's just two terriers in love.
Bringing their guardians together at every turn until they reluctantly realize it may not be just the pups who are each other's true Valentine. Starring Jennifer Finnegan and Sam Page.
You know.
Whoever they are.
So they're dogs, they can't...
Their dogs can't stop humping each other.
Yeah, and it's like, come on.
But I don't understand how the dogs...
Even then they
how do they battle each other? So they're battling each other in court. Meanwhile, the dogs are humping like mad.
What do they have
outside of court?
Where are they? They're like Seattle, where the dogs are allowed inside.
Yes, where the dogs are everywhere.
Or is they walk their dogs at lunchtime and the dogs are like getting it on?
I have no idea. It's got to be like on the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
There's another one called Love Locks.
Oh no.
A woman returns to Paris after 20 years and begins a journey of romance and rediscovery when she connects with her college boyfriend and first love.
Oh.
Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation stars Rebecca Romijn.
She dropped Stamos.
Mm-hmm. And Jerry O'Connell. Now, I'm looking at this picture. There's no way they went to college at the same time. I don't know what she's talking about.
Oh, you know that I think this was an illicit love triangle.
Oh, really?
I think that... correct me if I'm wrong, but Rebecca Romijn may have left John Stamos for
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell could be my son. Like, I think there's that much of an age difference going on there.
No, he can't be your son.
A different person?
I think you are.
Okay. Here's another one called Walking the Dog. Sorry. A Dash of Love. When aspiring chef lands an assistant job at her idol's restaurant, she convinced her big break is around the corner. After a rocky start, she befriends the handsome executive chef, and they begin bonding in the kitchen. Her joy is short-lived when she discovers that the idol's stealing recipes and fires them both to protect her secret. Together, they set out to create their own pop-up restaurant and discover the most important ingredient is love.
Yes.
Starring Jen Lilly and Brendan Penny. What I love about all these Hallmark things is it's like a white woman in her 40s mm-hmm. playing 20s.
Yes.
And then a guy who looks like Mark Zuckerberg is her like romantic opposite or whatever. Yeah. It's great. I like it. Who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's another one. This is my last one called While You Were Dating. Mm-hmm. This premieres February 12th. A divorced couple meet online and end up going on a blind date together.
Oh, so they divorced each other and then they fell in love online?
If you like pina coladas.
Ugh, after what a nightmare.
After an awkward reunion, they decide to set each other up with their friends, but old habits never quite die. Starring Billy Baldwin and Stephanie Von Pfeffen. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I don't mean to be rude.
Wait, Stephen or Billy Baldwin?
Billy Baldwin. Okay. You wanted to hear Stephen.
I did want to hear Stephen.
I'm forcing you to hear Billy. And While You Were Dating. A divorced couple meets online and go on a blind date. Then they set each other up with their old friends.
Oh, God. This sounds like a horrible...
If only it were like Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice. That sounds fun. But it's a Hallmark TV original. So it's like going to Swingerland. So, yeah, there's a four good things you might want to enjoy. Love Locks, Walking the Dog, A Dash of Love, with a very confusing plot. And then While You Were Dating, starring B. Baldwin.
Well, let me tell you something about Billy Baldwin. He's really good looking from the back.
Excuse me? I'm not sure how to take that. You came up from behind and then turned around and you were like, ah!
It was the early 90s, Upper West Side of New York City.
Mm-hmm. And a young
Katie Kazmir dashed into this upscale pharmacy to get a pack of gum before a party or something.
An upscale pharmacy.
Yeah. And there was a man standing, looking down an aisle, and I came up behind him, and he had this coat
on. As you do.
And this sharp haircut, and his posture was just amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like...
Actors.
Yeah, but I thought, gee, this guy is incredibly sharp from the back. I wonder what he looks like from the front.
Oh, no, he was a strobe light, brother.
What? Strobe light?
They look good in the strobe light.
Oh, no,
Then when the lights come on at the end of the night in the club, you're like, ah!
No, he's good looking from the front, but my point was from the back.
It was dashing.
He was dashing enough that I had to go out of my way to walk around him and look at his face. And who was standing off to the side but Chyna Phillips, his girlfriend.
Oh, I forgot about
and
her.
And then she started laughing, like, ah, because it was kind of obvious that I was trying to get a look
at
him.
Yeah, you're like a young blonde chick. She's a young blonde chick.
Yeah, but I guess I wasn't that smooth. But I didn't know it was Billy Baldwin. I just wanted to look at this guy.
See how it is. Yeah. I know how. I mean, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. But he looks good from the back.
Yeah, as well as the front.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?
This is another bonus advice.
Bonus.
I hate my partner's family. What do I do?
Don't deal with them.
Yeah.
Next. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, now that's one of these. Yeah, it's just deal with it somehow, or don't deal with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got like a page and a half of stuff.
I don't deal with it. I've been married for 10 years.
Yeah,
some people are cool, some people are not cool.
Yeah,
deal with the cool people.
Yeah, what is it? But there are certain reasons.
If you have children,
yeah.
If they're giving you copious amounts of money, mm-hmm. if you do business with them. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can set some ground rules and try to minimize it.
Yeah.
You know, or my favorite, be drunk.
Yeah. Just do that.
Have them deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or you have to talk to your partner about it.
So what do they say?
What to do. Oh, God. Many of us have been there. You fall head over heels in love with someone only to find you don't get on with their family.
Well, here's my question. My family is... very friendly. They mm-hmm. like all kinds of people. And if they don't like you, I don't know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not, you know, going to mm-hmm. put it all out there on Front Street. But if your spouse, if your family is rude to your spouse, mm-hmm. why can't you have a word with them?
Yeah.
Why does it always have to fall on the other person to mm-hmm. negotiate your family? I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, okay. So being in love usually makes us completely emotionally blind for a while, and we're more than willing to forgive initial teething problems with the other half's family.
Okay.
After all, everyone is getting to know each other's little foibles and eccentricities and is generally on their best behavior. But of course, after a while, once you smile politely at the well-intended comment now and then, and you just want to spit every time her mother suggests you could all holiday together.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's...
This is 2017, people.
Yeah. But they're talking, this is more of general advice. Okay. You know, you, it's all the things we were just talking about before I even got into the article.
Really?
You have to talk to your spouse.
Yes.
And have them talk to the family.
I'm one of those people, I don't like people to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I also am not a, like, I believe in compromise a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, like I said, I don't ever want someone, my friends or my partner to be in a situation where they're uncomfortable, because if they're uncomfortable, I'm uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and now we don't need to be here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's over.
Yeah. So if that's the thing they say, if you're having issues with your partner's family, the best thing for you to do is discuss it together and try to come up with a plan of action.
Yeah.
Together. When you raise any issues, try to use non-blaming language, such as, I don't feel I'm close to your sister as I'd like to be.
Well, your sister's too close to me right now. We're in the same city.
Rather than blaming the family member, for example, your sister always ignores me and then cuts me off. If your partner is very close to the family, there's a risk that he will take offense to the comments. So begin with a softly, softly approach.
What?
A softly,
softly, softly, softly catchy yeah. monkey, yeah.
Yeah. And gauge their initial reaction.
So strange. I'm trying to think of, I've dated some people where, and this is always cute because, you know, especially when there's a racial difference or class difference mm-hmm. and things like that, when you go to people's families and they have issues with you for whatever reason. And I'm like, well, why did you bring me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the kind of people that you hang out with, especially when I've dated a guy before who he didn't really like his family that
yeah.
much. And he insisted that we go spend the holidays with his family. And I'm like, you look like you're suffering.
Yeah.
I don't like these people because they don't like you. They're not treating you well. They seem to be okay with me. But why are we here? I don't yeah. understand. Like, if it's not, what do you, you know, if you're not getting something from them, like a lung,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like a lot of, what are you doing there?
Well,
suffering.
I think the idea is that you're not disrupting the family system. Because sometimes that disruption makes things even worse.
Yeah,
so
but just
going
don't
along.
Go there.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I went along with it. I was like, I was fine because they weren't mistreating me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, now I'm supposed to sit around while they mistreat their son?
Yeah.
Like, this is awkward. Let's just get out of here.
Yeah. But
then I was like, I'm just going to get drunk.
And because he knows that if he stands up for himself or
yeah.
does something different, all hell is going to break loose.
Like, never again.
Yeah.
Pass the Hennessy.
Yeah. So it's really, it's
huh.
just a mess here.
It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
I have one more piece of advice.
Okay.
What to get a partner who doesn't celebrate Valentine's Day?
Nothing.
Dude, you're in the clear.
Nothing.
Washington, D.C. Hey, Carolyn, I really enjoy your advice column! Exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have is, do you think it's a mistake to send flowers to your G/F on Valentine's Day? Even I don't know why people do that. It's email, dude. It's
yeah.
not a telegram.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get charged.
Autocorrect is going to throw it in there for you.
Yeah,
just
do it. Valentine's Day, even if she explicitly stated that she doesn't like or celebrate the day.
Yeah, well... Why are you doing it? Why are you poking a bear with a stick?
Yeah.
I don't like the holiday.
She's like, I think it's a mistake. If she doesn't like or celebrate the day, give her something she can celebrate. A goofball card or something like a deeply unromantic dinner. Or
mm-hmm.
if you have to do flowers, make them black.
Or why don't you, if you really want to be romantic with your partner, do it on another day.
Yeah.
And just be like, this is a you day.
I think this is it. This person,
you.
This guy really likes Valentine's Day. And,
oh.
he really wants to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of like her idea of, like, doing, like, anti-Valentine's
mm-hmm.
Day stuff. So, it's just very interesting. Like, if your person's not into it, like, just, you know, free day.
Yeah.
Carry on with it.
You don't have to do anything.
Like, me, I mean, I don't, Greg is a very romantic person. Anyone who's ever met me or has heard me. Heard about me, seen anything written about me, has seen any of my shows, knows I am not.
Yeah.
So he likes to do stuff, but I would never be like, no, don't do anything.
Right, yeah, you have to look at your partner and
yeah.
say what's important to them.
Yeah, if it's really, I think this person should just be like, hey, if it's important for my partner to give me something for Valentine's Day, like, then take it.
If he has to give me a foot rub.
Yes, if I'm forced to be massaged.
Yes,
then
I will.
Then
I will do it.
I will do it.
I'll do it for you.
I'll do it.
Because I love you.
All right. Well, happy Valentine's Day,
yes,
people.
Happy Valentine's
Good luck.
Day.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I thought that was the anagram for one that they used, Neo. Oh, it's, I thought that it was EO was his name.
And no, it's Neo.
Okay.
And I think it's for new. Oh, it's an anagram for one?
One.
Okay.
N-E-O.
Yeah.
Oh, E-N-O. Eno.
Okay. Have you found the Eno? Is the question. More pointedly. Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay, have you found?
That's fine.